So what is it that we are marking today, and why are we here? You'll have noticed that the first reading we had came from chapter 19 in Luke's Gospel, and the long reading that we've just had came from chapter 23. And all of the Gospels have a lot of weight placed on these few critical days that Jesus spent in Jerusalem. So I'm going to ask, please, if you might find some time during this week to read what happens between. Very often we just read the Bible in little bits. We've just had a longer reading than usual. Again, that's something that's traditional on Palm Sunday, to read the Passion story. But if you read the whole of that section of the Gospel, from the time when Jesus entered Jerusalem to the account of his death, then you'll find a real sense of gathering tension and all of the themes coming together in the story of Jesus and his ministry. So what is it that we are doing here? When we read the story of Palm Sunday and Jesus being greeted, well, this is something that Jesus had quite obviously arranged. He'd asked for the mount to be brought to him, and his disciples were there with other people, because we know that there was a larger circle of those who were following Jesus. And as he enters Jerusalem, and thank you, because we had a reminder of this in the prayers, there are clues from the Jewish scriptures, what we know as the Old Testament, that were being picked up in what Jesus did. The fact that he came on, as the other Gospels make clear, a donkey. A strange thing to do? Well, no, not if you read the prophecy that says that the king will come triumphant but humble and riding on a donkey. And the words, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna," which literally means "save us, please." Those words come from one of the Psalms that was, again, part of that celebration of God's kingship. So by applying those words to Jesus, it was in effect saying that God is at work here, and here is God's anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ. The words mean the same. And so when we hear this Palm Sunday story, Jesus entering Jerusalem, what we are hearing is Jesus inviting people, summoning people, challenging people to be part of what it was that he was doing. Because here was no solo king without a kingdom, but one who was inviting God's people to see in him the one who is at the center of God's plan for humanity. This is a huge claim, but this is what Palm Sunday is about. This is about a great movement, and it's about God's wonderful plan for humanity. This is about other people being invited to join in, to say their yes, to say our yes to what we see here in Jesus' royal appearing. But there were people who were getting it wrong. There were people who saw in Jesus somebody who could get rid of the Romans. No, that wasn't how it was going to be. But neither was it in a narrow sense, a spiritual thing. In our own time, in 21st century Britain, we are very ready to say that, well, this is religious and that is secular. That's private, this is public. That's not really very important, but this is what hits the headlines. And that's a mistake. Go back to Jesus' time, and there wasn't that division, a very artificial division. What Jesus was doing was to point to a way of being a human being, a way of being God's people, that really was in line with what God intended. Jesus, if you like, wraps up the story of God's people, the Jews, from centuries. And in the events of Holy Week, that happens again and again. He clears out the people from the temple who are making a profit. Not just the traders themselves, of course, would have been rattled by this, but also the religious authorities who had allowed it and encouraged it to happen. Jesus restores the temple, if you like, as a place that is dedicated to the worship of God. And he uses it as a platform for what he's doing. It's uniquely in Luke's gospel, as you'll see if you read these chapters during the week, please, that the people came. They got up early, daily, and they came to listen to Jesus teaching in the temple. There were people who were excited and intrigued by what Jesus was saying. To some people, of course, he was a threat. To some of the authorities. And Jesus was no friend to the Romans either. But did they really understand what they were seeing? For many of them, no, or at least not yet. But here, in the person of Jesus, is, if you like, the climax of God's dealing with his ancient people. And the gospel writers tell the story in terms that from here is released something wonderful. That from the time when Jesus is crucified and rises, the world is different. Humanity has changed. There's so much about this that we cannot fully understand. Christians have always believed that Jesus is at the center point. Jesus is necessary for this new relationship between humanity and God the Father. Some people will say, you don't really need Jesus to do this. Well, Christians have always said, you do. We don't fully understand how that works. It's a mystery. But we see enough. What we see is that in Jesus, God's will is done. Don't look to Jesus if you want somebody who is going to have that kind of earthly power and the way in which achievement is sometimes measured in human terms. Don't look to Christianity if you want something that is primarily about success. Do not look to faith in Jesus if what you want to do is to avoid the self-giving and sometimes the suffering and in some cases the witness even to death that so many people who follow Christ have found is their journey too. But do look here for a transformation of human existence. Do look here if you want to see what love is like. Do look here if you want to see what hope is. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.